Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Episode of Believe in Kentucky. My name is Vinny Hardy. We got AG, Aaron Gershon from thecatspaws.com, the former UK quarterback Jalen Whitlow. Fellas, how y'all doing?
Doing pretty good, man. Just getting back to Lexington after a couple days in Houston for McDonald's All-American, but can't complain. All good stuff.
Speaking of Houston, we got a guest on here with us who is Houston to the core. A Rice Owl as a player, back on staff for Rice now, played in the major leagues, and look, Red's country is Kentucky, so we got a former Red here, former MLB here, played for my Braves and the Orioles as well. We got Yanni, Paul Yanish in here. Paul, man, thanks for hopping on here with us this evening.
No, for sure, Benny. Thanks for having me, man. I'm excited to be on with you guys. But we are in Houston getting ready to get some of that Final Four action going on. So there's a lot going on down here right now.
I got to ask this. This might be a little bit weird, but you being a Rice Owl, the Florida Atlantic Owls made a lot of noise. Yeah. They're not your Rice Owls, but an Owl is are you happy that, you know, some Owls have been hooting in the Final Four?
Yeah. So we got to show some love for all the Owls, right? No, it's actually kind of ironic. We got a weekend series. I'm flying to Florida this weekend to play against Florida Atlantic, the baseball team. And obviously their basketball team is making some noise, like you said. So I'm hoping that their baseball team is going to be hung over after watching some of their games.
Don't mind. Actually, my brother is an FAU student, so I'm actually repping the shirt today. So don't take it personally.
Man. No, man.
That's just all funny.
You got to represent.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of fun watching them. Conference USA, man, they have a chance to have a trifecta in basketball. Charlotte won the CBI. I think it's an all NIT final, and then FAU. So pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, and so were you always wanting to coach? Did you, like, when I retire from the MLB, I'm going to be a coach? Did you?
Man, I'll be honest with you. I had no idea. I had no intention of coaching. So I went to Rice, like you guys mentioned, and had the opportunity to play for a long time. I was about 35 when I got done playing, three kids, you know, the whole deal. And so I came back to Rice to finish my degree. I was fully intending on going into some – private equity type stuff, some real estate development type stuff, you know, the whole deal. Was gonna try to figure out a way to make a bunch of money post playing, and I helped out with the team when I was finishing up my degree. And I had, if you had told me 5 years ago I was gonna be still coaching at Rice on staff, I would have told you you were crazy. But that being said, man, it's been a lot of fun. The NCAA landscape in all sports in general, as I think we could all agree, has gotten a little goofy, and probably gonna keep doing it with everything that's transpired here the last couple of years. The whole, on the baseball front, the recruiting happens at such a young age now, it's gotten goofy. The whole NIL deal, the transfer portal has changed the whole landscape. But all that to say, man, it's still pretty cool being involved. Number one, with baseball, which is obviously a passion of mine. And number two is, you know, it's a different dynamic being at the college level versus the pro level. I mean, there's, you know, dealing with 18 to 22 year old males, you know, you get the opportunity to to hopefully influence them in more good than bad. But you also, they keep you honest and they drive you crazy, because I think we can all attest, guys that are at that age, that they have a tendency to do some dumb things. So we raise the volume from time to time. You know what I mean?
For sure. Hey, y'all jump in anytime. Don't let me just be
talking. Yeah, no, I think when you look at college baseball, Paul, you mentioned some of the goofy things that go on. And one of the things I haven't been able to stand as someone who covers the sport is the three paid assistants. And I think that's finally changing, right? I believe this summer. Just how big is that for college baseball and how overdue?
Yeah, to your point, it's hard to believe that it took so long to get accomplished. That being said, it is. And you're right. July 1st this year, technically it goes into effect, and you can have, you know, that extra guy out on the road and all this stuff in terms of the recruiting side of things. And it just makes sense. I mean, to be honest with you, you know, you have, I don't know the exact number of guys, coaches on a football staff or what have you, but relative to baseball, which we have 35 guys available to be on the roster starting next year, you're going to be able to have 40 guys on the roster. It just makes sense. So it will help alleviate some of the, you know, shoulder some of the workload on a day-to-day basis, but in particular on the recruiting front, I think is arguably where it'll have a pretty significant impact also.
I don't know how baseball does it with the, you know, partial scholarships, and we got 11.372 guys coming back next year. Oh, this guy's going to go pro to the draft. Now we got to recalibrate. It's unbelievable how you put together rosters from 1 year to the next.
It's so tough, man, on that front. And I, again, the NIL deal, at least at the top of the food chain and you know, your Power Five conferences, I think is helping on that front, because they're able to supplement in a unique way from a financial standpoint, I think. But you're exactly right. Like, it, trying to piece that together over 35 guys, you know, dividing up the 11.7, trying to guesstimate on the draft, and then having to get on the phone with people over the summer to say, hey man, I might need to borrow 10-15%. I might need to take 20% from you. I'll give it back to you next year, or whatever the case might be. It's tough, but at the end of the day, it's part of it, man. It's just one of those speed bumps that we deal with. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Now, you being from Houston through and through, that's your city. Up here in Kentucky is Kentucky, Louisville, Kentucky, Tennessee. How do you decide that you are a Rice guy or UH, and what's that rivalry like? How did you, you know?
So the rivalry is real, right? It, you know, at least going back to even when I was in school, we, you know, Houston is a big city. It's a saturated environment with regards to talent. And I don't care what sport you're talking about, right? Like, if it's basketball, football, baseball, like, you can talk about whatever you want. There's some good talent that comes out of the Houston area and Texas in general. But, you know, at this point now, we're, you know, I'm buddies with that coaching staff over there. We know their players pretty good and all that, but I know our players, they go back and forth with each other. But at the end of the day, most of these guys grew up playing against each other and they know each other. And the way that the travel, you know, youth travel ball works now, everybody knows everybody, social media and the whole deal. So it's a little friendlier maybe than what it used to be, I guess is the best way to say it. But, you know, I got love for those guys over U of H, but it's I wouldn't change it. If you're asking me, I'd go to Rice all over again.
How far is Rice from U of H?
It's only, like, from a distance standpoint, it's only like 4 or 5 miles. It's not far at all.
Oh, wow.
Depending on the time of day, it might take you like 45 minutes to get over there. But we're actually really close.
Is U of H downtown? That's downtown, right?
It's like just outside that. Like, we're essentially both on different sides of downtown, but yeah, ultimately we're very close to downtown.
Gotcha.
If NIL had been a thing when you were at Rice, you being from Houston, who would you have linked up with and you know, to get an endorsement deal, and who would you, you know, product would you have been hawking and all that kind of stuff?
Man, it's, you know, money talks, right? So, you know, would have probably would have been a fan of figure it out as we go. But it's you know, Rice is a unique place. It's an academic place. Our you know, what we sell is academics, and in terms of the network that you have access to when you get done going to school here. And you know, I joke about it when I'm recruiting, because you know, at some of the bigger schools, you know, people talk about getting, whether it's 10, 15, 20, and in some cases 75, 100 grand, you know, maybe on top of the cost to go to school. And what I'm selling is that's not to discredit 10 or 15 grand, right? But what I'm telling you, like, if you come to Rice, you graduate from Rice, 10, 15, 50, 75 grand, like, over the course of life, like, that ain't gonna be a lot of money. So I'm trying to sell the 40-year picture versus the, you know, 2 to 4 year picture where, you know, you're going to make a little cash on the side versus being able to provide for your family in a unique way. You know what I mean?
That makes sense. Definitely makes sense. I didn't mention it too at the beginning, but, you know, Kentucky being Reds country and you playing for the Reds, mm-hmm. you also host the Farm to the Show podcast with Chris Dickerson. Also on the Believe Network. So tell everybody that's, you know, Reds fans in Kentucky what they'll get when they tune into y'all's podcast.
Yeah, so we just started doing it, man. We're kind of excited. So Dickie and I played together, and we've known each other forever. And, you know, they when they came and asked us to start doing that, we were excited about it. I've been wanting to get into that space for a little while. And, you know, over the it's been fun to start. We're just getting going, like I said. But with opening day tomorrow, we recorded this morning talking about opening day, the roster and whatnot. And you know, that's a unique part of the country with regards to the Reds, right? Like Reds fans go back, you know, all the way back into the Big Red Machine, and it's just a super loyal fan base. So I know they're fired up. They're trying to turn that roster over there up there in Cincinnati and get back on top of it, right? And but that's most of what we cover. We're gonna talk some trash to each other about, you know, some of the things that we think and feel about other things. But most of what we're doing is covering the Reds and trying to be part of following them as they kind of reestablish themselves. Hopefully, is a contender in that NL Central.
I was listening to your episode, I guess 4, about the World Baseball Classic. I think Dickerson said that, well, you know, Japan is 5-0, and you're like, well, they got that way because they won the most games, and y'all started just like, you know, busting each other.
Yeah, right, so he's like, yeah, Japan's 5-0, and he was trying to say something to the effect of like, you know, how are they 5-0? I'm like, well, because they hadn't lost yet, man. That's why they're 5-0. They hadn't lost. But the WBC is cool, man. I don't know what y'all think about it, but from a baseball fan, man, I think it's so cool to see people from all over the world. And you know, the example I used was the Czech Republic team, which is, you know, it's so cool for them to be planting the seed of baseball over there, and like they get into just getting into the tournament was a significant deal for them versus the Japan team, which I think we can all agree. I mean, obviously they won the WBC this year, but from a talent perspective and a level of baseball perspective, they're a power globally, right? And we got their guys are starting to come over to the big leagues and have an immense amount of success. And so I just think from a global standpoint, from a baseball standpoint, it's just really cool to see.
Yeah, no, absolutely agree. Going back to Rice, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, that you guys are transitioning to the American next year. I know that there are some good teams in Conference USA. Dallas Baptist is one that stands out every year, but what is that going to do for Rice baseball going forward?
It can't do anything but help. So the American is obviously a little bit stronger conference from a monetary standpoint. It's going to be good for our university. I think it'll be good for our football team, which ultimately I think is it helps everybody in the athletic program, right? Selfishly for baseball, it'll help as well, just from a exposure standpoint, you know, from a strength of schedule and all of those types of things. I mean, right now in that conference, you know, East Carolina has kind of been in the driver's seat for the, you know, in recent past. And I think that they're not going anywhere in the short term. So, you know, from a level of play standpoint, it'll be good. And it's just exciting. Like I said, at the end of the day, it's just a little bit better conference. And although that being said, man, you guys figured out, I don't know. There's so much changing within conferences, so and I don't know what's going to happen in the future with regards to, you know, some people talk about there's going to be a super conference at some point where it's, you know, it's just everybody doing their own deal. So I don't know. I don't keep track of that. I'm just trying to keep my head above water over here, man.
I don't blame it, man. It's crazy.
That's all you can do. Going back to opening day, you talked about you recorded an episode, you know, opening day Red specific. As a player, what's it like opening day being a member of the Cincinnati Reds? Opening day is more special in that city to that franchise than any other MLB squad. So what's that like for you to go into a season opening day being on the Reds?
So a couple of things, man. So I got drafted by Cincinnati. I came up through their organization. And so being in the big leagues with them, you know, on opening day was pretty significant because that was the first couple of go rounds that I got to do that. So it's, like I said, Cincinnati will always have a soft spot, but the opening day festivities, the whole grand parade deal, you know, the flyover, all the stuff, man, it's just, they do the red carpet, you come out and the whole deal. It's, it's just unique, kind of like what you're describing. And I don't know, to me, it's like a culmination of, okay, I'm standing out here on this first base foul line on the home side in Cincinnati, doing something that, you know, like I'm sitting in a little league complex right now, right? We're watching my kid play, and there's these deals all over the country. I'm coaching in college baseball right now. You get college players all over the place that would love to do nothing more than that. So to me, I just vividly remember thinking to myself, like, damn it, this is pretty cool. You know what I mean? And so those are just some of the things that stick out, and the fact that it's still cold up in Cincinnati on opening day. being from Houston, man, that's not something you never get used to, that cold up there.
Yeah, well, I guess, yeah. I won't even think about that, but that's true. Yeah, your blood is a lot thinner, and hey, that is.
That's right. That's right. That's right. But it all that to say, too, like, it's just super cool. Like, I love the thought, thinking back, and like some of the guys that, like I was saying, I'm paying attention to the Reds right now, and they're opening their roster. They got a few guys where it's going to be their first opening day in the big leagues, right? And so I think more about opening day from that standpoint, where you got guys that are kind of getting those emotions over the, you know, the veteran guys who are kind of, you know, business as usual. That I'm sure that they obviously enjoyed as well, but there's nothing like that first opening day where you're, like I said, kind of a culmination of a long period of time and hard work and the whole deal, and a little bit of luck, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, going back to the WBC, you mentioned how much you enjoyed it. What from the WBC, if you could, would you implement into MLB? What aspects of it would you?
Oh, man, that's a good question. I don't know. So the WBC is operating kind of on the quote unquote old rules, right? Mm-hmm. They don't have the pitch clock. They don't have the bases. They don't have you know, some of that newer stuff that's being implemented at the major league level. So those games take longer. I don't know if you guys are paying attention to spring training, but yep. I was paying attention because of our deal. And man, the games are like, dude, it's going quick, man. Like
26 minutes is the average.
Oh, it's a joke, man. So I appreciate that philosophically, but you know, on the flip side, I'm curious to see how it actually applies in the real season when you got like a real situation and a real game that matters, and like the eighth inning and they're trying to call a ball or a strike on a hitter that, you know, I don't know. We'll see how that goes. But to answer your question, I'm not sure. I'll say this. What I appreciate about the WBC is that it's unique. The emotion that is involved with that, I'm just going to use, like, whether it's Venezuela, Dominican, you know, Puerto Rico, some of those Latin countries as the example, how big of a deal it is, right? And so historically, the United States team's caught a little flack for maybe not caring as much, quote unquote. You know, they don't have all their guys, but hey, man, I'm telling you right now, like, that roster they had this year was real. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's cool to see, like, you can't really make that argument anymore. I think that the USA guys have shown, like, look, man, you had some guys calling Mark DeRosa, who is the manager for the USA team, saying, hey, dude, I want to be on that team, man. So I just appreciate it from that standpoint. I think it's, again, going back to like the macro view, I think it's just good for the game of baseball, the business of baseball, like globally. I don't know. I like it kind of being unique, and you know, MLB is one thing, and that they do their deal, and they're you know, changing the rules and all that stuff, which is fine. I got no problem with it, but I think the WBC doing its own deal is pretty cool.
Is every 3 years about right, or you wish it was every two, or is it?
Yeah, no, I mean, I could get on board with it being every other year. Yeah, I mean, I think so. But, you know, the 3 year deal works. What I will say is I'm curious to see if they make an adjustment on the timing of it, because it's tough. And I don't know that there is a good time for everybody, right? Like, there's really not if you really sit down and think about it. But that's the one aspect that I'm curious to see if they make an adjustment on to try to, you know, more accommodate everybody. But at the end of the day, as long as it's not during the actual big league season, which I don't think is actually doable. You know, I think it's guys are going to make adjustments to their schedules to make it work.
Makes sense. Being from Houston, look, I'm a Rockets fan. So,
okay. Yeah, man.
But people outside of Houston, is Houston a baseball city? Would you say that it, I mean, the Astros success, but you know, how would you describe the city from that standpoint as what type of sports city it is?
Man, it's hard to say. So I'm a little biased, right? And you got to understand the Astros are rolling right now, bud. Like, You can't. Yeah,
as a Yankee fan, I know it.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, you know, tough break, tough break.
Yeah.
But, And so I'm still tied to the Astros because my man Dusty Baker, who I'm sure you guys are familiar mm-hmm. with, obviously he managed the Reds when I was there, but and he's the manager for the Astros now. So I still keep in touch with him and I'm tight with him. And so I'm rooting for those guys just if for nothing else, just for Dusty. I was pretty fired up for him to get the World Series, obviously, last year. But so I would tell you right now it's more of a baseball town because the Texans are struggling a little bit right now trying to get back onto it. The Rockets are kind of in a rebuilding deal, obviously, as well. I'm with you. Like, I grew up watching the Rockets and, you know, watched a couple back-to-back championships back in the day with, you know, Clyde the Glide and obviously Hakeem Olajuwon, those kind of deals. I mean, we're going way back, but it's a good city though for sports in general. I mean, we got an MLS team as well, and it's a good city. And if you like food, man, this is where you need to come visit. I'm just telling you.
I lived in Dallas for a short time, man, and I thought Dallas was a good food place. Shit, man, I gained 10 pounds in Dallas.
Yeah, yeah, no. So it's similar. So I don't know what kind of food you like or whatever, but we got whatever you want. It's from that standpoint, man. It's kind of a mesh of a lot of different types of people, cuisine, food, the whole deal. So it's a cool spot, man.
Yeah, I know my cousins live there, man. They love it, you know. And it's definitely a big, you know, no need to even say this, but definitely a big football scene there.
Oh gosh, oh man, it's crazy.
As a high school football coach, man, it's hard to get better than Dallas and Houston.
No, you're right, man. You're right. And it's like I said, it don't matter what sport you're trying to look for, recruit, or pay attention to. There's Houston, but Texas in general, I think it's a hotbed, man. There's just a lot of people, a lot of kids, a lot of talent.
Yeah. Since you play for Dusty, he just got the ring. Give me your favorite Dusty memory. Funny story, funny, whatever Dusty moment you want to share with him.
Okay. So you guys probably don't know Dusty, but he's like as good of a player as manager as you're going to find, right? Like he thinks he's still a player. Okay. So and he was a damn good player, right? Yeah. Like we can all agree on that. He's one of the few managers, not taking anything away from anybody else, but he was as one of the better players that is currently a manager. Right.
Yep.
So I'm in Cincinnati and this is like probably my second or third year in the big leagues. I can't remember exactly, but, and I'm not playing every day. I'm kind of like our utility guy, like mixing and matching. So I'm on the bench a lot, like paying attention to the games. And Dusty and I are pretty close. But, like, he calls me in his office one day. And this is like a Tuesday, man. There's, like, nothing going on or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, what's up, Skip? You know, what's going on? And he's like, hey, man, I feel like you're you know, I'm getting ready to make moves in the game, like bring a pitcher in or whatever the case might be, make a decision. And I feel like you're looking at me during the game, like you're kind of, and what he's insinuating, he's like, I feel like you're kind of questioning what I'm doing. And I was like, immediately I'm like, oh crap, man, this ain't good. Like he's kind of pissed off right now. And so I tell him, like, it just came out. I'm like, hey man, I just been with you for a couple of years. I just, you know, I just feel like I know what you're going to do in a lot of situations before you do it. Like, And he just flipped script like right away, and he's like, "That's the shit I'm talking about." He's like, "You're paying." he's like, "So you're thinking with me?" And I'm like, "Yeah, man. I guess like on accident, you know what I mean?" And so it flipped from like him being pissed off to him being like, "So then the next question he asked me, he's like, "Hey, man, do you ever want to manage in the big leagues?" And I was like, "Dude, I'm like my second year in the big leagues. I'm not even it's not even on my radar." And I'm like, yeah, I mean, maybe I probably not, man. I don't know is what I said. And he's like, immediately he goes right back to it. He's like, me neither. But look at me. One of the best ever. And I was dying. And it's honestly, it's kind of like a microcosm for Dusty. Cause it's, you know, up and down. And like, he's just he's a guy's guy, player's manager. You know, when we're talking about food here, everywhere you go in the country, I don't care where you are. Like he has a spot, right? and he brings food into the clubhouse and stuff. And anyway, I love the guy, but that's that's my best Dusty story. Cause I thought I was getting ready to get sent out to Louisville to go back to AAA cause he was pissed off at me. And then he was like, hey man, I think you might manage in the big leagues one day.
That's a 180.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so anyway, he's good people, man. Like I said, I'm happy for him. He's doing good, and I still get to see him a little bit, so it's good.
That's good. Man, a couple more quick ones before we let you go, Paul. Man, you mentioned Japan winning the WBC. You had the Shohei Trout moment, which them as angels. That's the first time maybe anybody's seen them on any kind of stage, because we never see them. But being a guy who played the game, who's been around the game, who's seen greats do their thing, when you see Shohei doing what he's doing, what do you and the guys think of a guy that's able to play every day and then every fifth day legit pitch? I mean,
Yeah, so I think it's the single best example of people don't understand what is actually transpiring. Okay, like I'm just telling you, like people that get to the big leagues at all, obviously that's a tremendous feat. Okay, but we're talking about a guy that is arguably in the top five or six pitchers in the league, like out of everybody, and are arguably one of the top, I don't know, 8 to 12 hitters, right? Like it's not a real thing, man. So like for him to be able to be doing what he's doing, first of all, I think again it's great for the game. Outside of the physical ability that he's got, and I don't know Shohei personally, right? I admire him from afar, but the mental makeup that that guy has to be, super unique, right? And I just it's really fun to watch. I don't think that people give enough credit to what is actually what they're seeing. And it's no different than Trout, right? Like he's putting up these ridiculous numbers doing it and on the West Coast, so a lot of people don't he doesn't get a ton of attention just from the take the how the team's performance is out of it. He doesn't get as much attention just because he's on the West Coast. But what Shohei's doing is it's just cool, man. And my favorite thing is when people were like, yeah, this guy the MVP, that guy the MVP. Like it for me, like dude, it's not close, man. You're talking about a guy that does both as good, like at the top of the game. It's just not. It's not even real. It's like a joke about. He's like a video game player, man.
For sure. For sure. You mentioned Dusty knowing all the food spots everywhere y'all went. You personally, what's your favorite city and your favorite park that you played in?
So, man, that's a good question. I think my favorite city, maybe during it's got to be during the summer now, but my favorite city might be Chicago. It's a really, really good spot. Now you can have it during the winter, but it's a good spot during the summer. But my favorite ballpark, I don't know. I like playing in St. Louis. I think it's got the one of those deals where it's like a new, it's an old school feel at a with some new amenity type field, but it's hard to say. I don't know. Those are a couple of, and taking into account, those are a couple of stadiums I played at the most, right? And it's a cool. It'd be tossed up. I don't know, man. Toronto's pretty cool too. Y'all ever been to Toronto? Toronto's a good spot.
No, I've heard it's awesome though.
I have not. I've heard it's a lot of good things.
Y'all need to go check it out, man.
I got to come down to your city and get some food. I got to come to Houston for a Rocket game and all that. I got to go to Toronto for sure. For sure.
Hey man, you come down to Houston. I got like a barbecue spot for you. I got a Mexican spot for you. We'll go check in a Rockets game. We'll check it out.
Man, sounds good. And the last one I got, man, the nastiest pitchers that you ever stepped in the box against, to where it's going to be a tough AB, man.
So this is always something that's it's hard to answer, right? But for me, it's like you can enter a couple of different like back into the bullpen guys. So like for me, when Kenley Jansen was right, like when he was younger and like was just getting going and was like really doing it, like he was for me, he was as good as anybody. I also had the opportunity to face Chapman when he was throwing. Like I actually played. I mean, we played together in Cincinnati, and then I was in Atlanta, and we faced him. And at that time, he was doing the 100 to 104 deal. That's a tough gig at that point when he was right. Like there's velocity is a little more prevalent now. There's you got a bunch more guys, throwing up triple digits, but at that time there wasn't quite as many. So it was, I don't know, one of those two guys. But make no mistake, dude, any of those guys closing games in the big leagues, like their stuff is legit, man.
And you, like I said, listen to y'all's episode 4. Y'all are talking about Kenley as a catcher, which was that was
Yeah.
hilarious.
Oh man, it was funny. Okay, he couldn't hit, but he could still throw.
Yeah, unbelievable. Man, Paul, appreciate you hopping on here, watching your youngin' play and talking some baseball, talking some Reds with us. wish you all the best on the podcast, you and Dickerson, and we have to get you back on here sometime and chop it up with you again, man.
No, man, I appreciate y'all having me, and yeah, holler at me when y'all, we'll do it again at some point down the road, catch up a little bit on what's going on up there in that part of the country.
Farm to the Show, part of the Believe Podcast Network, just like us. Subscribe to that one. Give it a 5-star rating. Listen to it just like you listen to us, and you'll be glad that you did, man. Thank you so much, Yanni, man.
Appreciate it, man.
Have a good one, man.
Yeah. Nice to see you. Y'all be good. All right, folks.
Hey, appreciate it.
Thanks again.
See ya.
Paul Janish, former Red, Brave, and Oreo, giving us a little baseball talk. As this podcast will drop opening day, and you know, Reds fans, hop on here and get your little baseball fix. And we'll finish out with some spring football fixing and nothing really happened, nothing really to talk about. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, they're all there's no leaders. They are entitled. Yeah, that was so Jalen, as a former Mark Stoops guy, is he just trying to light a fire under their asses, or is he serious, or both?
Both. You know, it was both. If you know,
passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I mean, we were damn 2-10. So I've been a part of a couple of those conversations, you know, as much as that pains me to say.
It's funny because real quick, I remember I wasn't there, but there was a press conference in 2013, I think, before the season, and you could still find it on YouTube. And it was almost the exact same press conference. And that was year one. So not much has changed.
Yeah. I mean, I think they have better leadership than what he may have portrayed. You know, a lot of times coaches get, you know, they don't like the leadership when guys aren't executing, you know. Then it becomes a leadership problem because, okay, why aren't we executing? Not saying that they don't have any leaders, because I think the quarterback is going to be a good leader. Mm-hmm. I've heard J.J. Weaver has been a good leader. But, you know, sometimes when it rains, it pours when it comes to miscues and practice and spring ball. You know, just guys not in the right position, guys, you know, MAing, missed assignments. You know, so, you know, I think it's one of those things. He was, you know, I'm sure they had a bad practice, obviously. And, you know, he just want guys to be more consistent in their leadership is what I'm assuming. That's usually where it is. You know, guys be more consistent and, okay, when it's going bad, don't allow it to go too bad. You know, grab guys by the neck and, you know, get guys in, on the right path. So, That's what he's worried about. And I think he's probably sending a message to the quarterback as well. Now, it's a tough deal because I've been in a situation where you transfer to a school, it's tough to just go right in and just, like, you know, start telling guys what to do and leading. You kind of want to prove it on your own first. You kind of want to prove to your, you know, to yourself and to your teammates that you are worthy of being a leader, right? It's hard to go right in and start leading. You know, so – and from what, you know, from what Cohen said, he's not a fiery guy anyway, mm-hmm. speaking of Leary. So, you know, kind of that could kind of come off as you not being a leader. I wasn't a fiery, vocal guy either. But I'm always going to be in the weight room at the right time, always going to be on the field at the right time, always doing the right thing, right? I'm leading by example. Mm-hmm. But there is a time and a place where you need to be more vocal. So that'll come with the experience and being around the guys. A lot of times in the summer when you're getting drunk with guys and, you know, y'all hanging out doing what y'all do in the summer, that's when you start get close with. I mean, that's just the reality of it. That's when you start, you know, building a good bond with some of those guys. So, you know, that'll come. I don't think it's as big as maybe they made it out to be. But, you know, at least we hope not. You know, if it is, yeah, then that could be an issue. At least we hope not. So I'm sure was it Ray Davis?
Yes.
J.J. Weaver, Leary, Jagger, Eli. I mean, I'm sure those guys are, you know, I'm sure they're doing a good job of doing what they need to do, right? It's just the vocal piece that he's wanted somebody to step up, because you just lost, from what I'm mm-hmm. hearing from in the program, obviously one of the best quote unquote vocal leaders that they've had in a while with Levis. So you're not replacing that overnight. You know, that takes time. Sure. Man. I mean, especially if he did it at a level that people are saying that he did it. I wasn't in the building, so I don't know. But if that's the case, then it's tough as a coach, because I've been there as a coach. When you lose a guy who was a great leader, and you got good leaders, but you don't have that one guy who's just going to get everybody, you know, where they need to be. And that comes with time. So I don't think it's, you know, I don't think it's time to panic or anything. I think that.
And Levis didn't just transfer from Penn State and start jerking guys up and yelling either. He came in late, but it took a little time for him to just show that he was the great leader that he was and had in him all along. Ray Davis is transferred in also. Right now, Eli Cox might be that guy until, you know, Leary slides on in mm-hmm. and Davis slide on in and kind of become more established and kind of get a feel of what this program is about.
Yeah, I would agree. I would say Eli on the offensive side of the ball and JJ on the defensive side of the ball are probably the two guys you look at. And, you know, Eli talked a lot on Saturday, I believe, mm-hmm. is when that whole thing happened, about how, man, it's hard in college football now with the roster turnover is more than ever. So many new players and, you know, getting acquainted. And obviously, you know, Devin being the quarterback, you know, it's going to take time. I think the big outside of, you know, Will Levis and Devin Leary are just very different people. That's just how it's been interacting with them. And I think just as quarterbacks too. But, you know, you talk about rah-rah guy per se, that is not Devin Leary. And I think it was Will Levis. And that's probably taking some getting used to for the receivers, getting used to in the locker room, getting used to from Mark Stoops. So, you know, I don't think it's a knock on Devin, but until, you know, Devin does fully take over that room, and it sounds like he is leading by example, and no one has said one, I haven't heard a negative word about him as a person or player yet, which is always a good sign. So that's going to take time, but I do think Eli Cox, you know, being a senior, guy who's played a lot in two different positions, he's from Kentucky, he understands this program probably as good as anyone on the team. And then same thing with JJ on the defensive side of the ball. I think he's actually he might be in his fifth year at Kentucky, redshirted his freshman year. Same with Eli. So, you know, they've been around the block. They're both from this state. They understand the culture when it's at its best. Obviously, both were a part of that 10-win team, you know, 2 years ago. So those are probably the guys you lean towards to kind of take this team until it becomes Devin Leary, until it becomes Ray Davis, who I think, if you listen to that guy talk, there's no doubt in my mind he's going to be a leader if he's not already. And Mark Stoops is kind of just trying to motivate when he's saying they have none. So I'm not too worried. And the other thing about this too, and I'm sure you could attest to this, Shaylen, it's much better to have this problem now on March 29th than it would be, you know, if it were August 29th and you're, you know, toward the end of summer ball. So it's okay. They'll be fine.
Yeah, that'll be fine. And when when the players are talking about how Devin Leary's car is always at the facility,
yes.
the facility, that to me, that's the epitome of leadership. You know,
yep.
The vocal stuff is good, man. But look, this is how it goes in sports. And I'm sure y'all know this, but just for the people who listen to this, when you're 10-2, right? Leadership is leadership. You know, whatever, right? The guy's showing up on time. He's working hard, but he's not vocal, but he's doing the right things where people can follow. When you're 2-10, that's not enough. So leadership is not enough. That's not like being semi-vocal, but doing the right thing all the time. Always, you know, being the hardest worker, doing the right thing in the weight room, classroom, field, whatever. That's not enough when you're on a team that's not successful. So people talk about it all the time, right? Nobody talked about Marcus Mariota's leadership coming out of Oregon because he was winning. Marcus Mariota doesn't talk, and I know guys who know him. He's a quiet guy, but nobody talked about his leadership coming out, right? That wasn't a big deal. You may have heard some people say something about it, but it wasn't a big deal because he won football games. He was a Heisman. He won a Heisman, right?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he was a Heisman Trophy winner. So nobody talked about it, right? And he was on a team that made it to the national championship game. So leadership wasn't the topic of conversation, even though the guy don't talk much at all. But now that he's in the NFL, he's on terrible teams. They're looking, you know, you can hear his coaches say, we're looking for our guys to lead. Yeah, because the team is losing. So that's the thing. That leadership thing is fluid and it's fickle. Because at the end of the day, the foundation of leadership is leading by example, right? You got kids, you got people who look up to you. They want to see you do it. You can't tell them you're going to do it. They want to see it. So when you doing that, to me, that's really great leadership. Now, it's a plus. It's extra credit to be a super vocal guy, right? And that's what most people are looking for, you know? That thing is, you know, they got to have, you know, great practices from here on out, and they go in the season and have a great season. Offense does great, but Devin Leary is Marcus Mariota. He doesn't say much. They're going to say at the end of the season that we had a great leader at quarterback because they won games. So that's what it's about, man, at the end of the day. People, you know, leadership changes based on how successful you're being, on the field, on the game site. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I'm not going to, like, panic or anything based on what Stoops said the other day. And listening to Liam Cohen, they came back and had a pretty good practice. Yeah. That's how the thing goes sometimes. And sometimes, you know, as a coach, you want to send a message via the media and get guys back on track. So I'm sure he used that, man. It's chess out here.
Yeah, he's pretty good at that game. We saw it last year, obviously. So we'll see how this Saturday is an open practice. So we'll get a better look and feel for it.
They announced that so late, man.
I think it was a month ago, but okay. The time came out.
Okay.
Yeah, because this is your, this one's for fans. So, I mean, I'll obviously get to go, but this one is like your spring game replacement.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
And that leadership, like you said, is fluid, you know. It has variables and movements and all that. You know it more so even than us, Jalen. When even if you're on a good team and a guy who is considered a leader is hurt, it's hard for him to lead because he's not out there with you. He's not out there on the field with you.
Yeah.
He's still having a good season, but he's hurt, and so he's reluctant to lead. Feels like I can't really say anything because I'm not out there, you know, landing on the line with these guys. So he might be a great leader, but he's kind of muted and kind of just rehabbing and kind of in his own little world on that island until he can get back out there. But yet he's a great leader too. But yeah, so
yeah, and people always say that because kind of what we just talked about, when the guy is injured, your best vocal leader is injured. They say we need somebody to step up and lead. Why do they say that? They say that because your best vocal leader can't lead by example now, because he's not on the grass.
Vocal that's why they, leader yeah. lead by example though. It's they yeah. just they that's, go that's hand why in they, hand.
Yep, that's why they say that. You can have a guy. I mean, look, we've all been a part of teams and staffs and you know companies where we had leaders who weren't in position to lead. You know what I'm saying? Guys who weren't playing. Who were the most vocal people in the world, but they weren't playing. So people don't really care at the end of the day. They want the guy that's the guy. They want him to be the leader. So when a guy is injured, that's why they always say we need somebody to step up and lead, because that guy can't lead by example. He can't show you his leadership. He can't do what he need to do. So that's what that is. I'm sure they got guys out there doing the right thing all over the place. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we'll see what happens. I think they'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with you.
Leary will slide into it. You know, Tavion Robinson said he was like you, Jalen. I just lead by example. I'm not a rah-rah guy. You know, so yeah.
He's the guy they need to bounce back both on and off the field too. I really liked what he was saying, not to cut you off there, Vinny, but if you guys remember, he liked those tweets about Rich Scangarello, and then he met, you know, he was out for senior day. He didn't walk and he wasn't necessarily injured, and there was a lot going on. And, you know, I think that they
kind of like Xavier Wheeler.
Yeah. except Mark Stoops and his staff did a lot better kind of making it, hiding that issue where it was kind of public with Xavier. But they definitely, you know, he's a guy that didn't have the year he wanted to last year. He didn't play for the guy he wanted to last year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I really liked that he was taking some accountability. And, you know, I at the beginning of camp, Mark Stoops and Liam Cohen both kind of talked about how they've challenged him and how they really expect a lot from him on and off the field. And it seems like he's taking that to heart. So that was good to hear.
And I think he can go ahead.
I was going to say, even though he said he was a quiet guy, he still said, you know, kind of going to make the most of his last run, his last year, yep, and pour everything he has into these young guys. So it's maybe not natural for him to do all that, but I'm going to give all of my knowledge and everything I've learned from playing in two schools and two different conferences to Dane, to Berrion, to these, you know, Anthony Brown. So he's going to leave his knowledge with them on the way. So he's, you know, sounds like he's going to do the right things and back in the fold, and, you know.
Yeah, I think he can, and they're really pushing him, because at the end of the day, he has the most experience in the room. And I think he can add that extra, you know, experience, you know, that what's the word I'm looking for? Kind of well-rounded depth that they mm-hmm. need. Because I'm sure he's a guy, seemed like a guy who can play multiple positions. You can move him around if need be. And they want, you know, I don't know if he'll be a guy that starts, just my opinion. I don't think he will, but I think he'll be a guy who, you know, rotates and they can trust to do anything. They can trust to run any route from any position. They can move him around. They can game plan where he's, you know, bouncing around just in case he's the second guy at X, he's the second guy at H, he's the second guy at Z, right? Whatever that may be, if he's doing what he need to do. But I do think they have guys behind Dane and Berrion that are more talented than Robinson. And I think they'll try to get those guys in the field, because at the end of the day, those guys are younger. They'll have more years to play at Kentucky.
And they don't want them to hit that portal.
Yeah, that matters to coaches. Yeah. You know, they got to get those guys on the field. So, you know, so we'll see what happens. And I'm sure they're playing the game right now. Let's make sure Tavion knows that, you know, he's not on our back burner. He's getting reps in spring.
Yes.
When the season comes around, our young guys are going to play. And just so we don't, you know, don't allow him to transfer pre-August, you know, so he can start the season and play with us, and we can have that depth that we want. So I'm excited to see how it goes, man. I'm excited to see, you know, that room. Because like I said, and I heard somebody else say this the other day, this may be the most talented and a mix of talent and a mix of experience that Kentucky has had since I've been watching them. You know, so just from top to bottom. You know, there's been years where Kentucky had two really good guys or one really good guy. But from top to bottom, this is the most complete receiver room that I've seen. From Kentucky. So I think that's really important. It could be a quarterback room that's pretty complete too, depending on how those guys develop. I'm anxious to see. That's why I really would like to watch practice on Saturday, because I would really love to see those guys at practice. But we'll see how that position is developing, because they need that a lot. So I think they'll be fine up front, you know, with the amount of guys they can play in multiple positions. I think they'll end up being fine.
Yeah, I think it's gone better. I think it's gone better this spring than it did, you know, obviously last year. I think moving to Jaggart Center is really going to help because Eli is definitely a guard. He didn't play bad per se, but he wasn't as effective at center as he was at guard. And then, you know, the receiver room, you know, it is so loaded. And that's the reason Tavion, I think, is kind of the X factor in that room, though, is because they are it's such a young. You forget how young it is because Dane and Barrion were so good last year, but they're only sophomores. You know, the next oldest guy in the room, if I'm not mistaken, is Tekel Crowdis as a redshirt sophomore. So it is a really, really young room. I think Anthony Brown's a guy and Brandon White are both having really good camps. You know, Jordan Anthony, he's kind of the speedster, but, you know, he's not even with the team right now. He's doing track. So he might fall behind a little bit, the guys who are, you know, with the team this spring. So, but that wide receiver room is ridiculously talented. You just got to keep it healthy. And you obviously want, Dane and Barrion to take the next steps, which I think is just gaining some muscle, getting stronger. So you can win some of those 50-50 battles against some really good SEC corners.
Yeah. I think it was Cole Kubelik on his Cube show that was talking about the Kentucky's room. Wide receivers depth. I've been watching, I think, 30 years. You know, that's back when he was playing at Auburn. Still kind of keeping up with what Kentucky was doing. And the room has never been that deep. And I think that was a guy that said the similar thing. And, I mean, he's you know, covering Kentucky games. They're always there. Like, the SEC Network, him and Tom Hart and all those guys are always there. And so it was cool to hear, you know, his observations, you know, somebody kind of from the outside looking in, familiar with the program, but, you know, got a good handle on what's going on, to hear him kind of say some of the things he was saying about what the offense could potentially be.
Yeah. So that was definitely where I heard it. I'm also interested to see what happened in the running back room because you had a couple guys, you know, that they, you know, they're going to want reps, man. And, you know, that portal's coming open soon. So, you know, I'm anxious to see what happens. You know, I'm sure I pretty much know that they're going to dive into the portal and get a quarterback and running back after spring. I'd be shocked if they didn't have to. Just natural, man, with the portal now. It's just going to happen. So we'll see what happens with that.
I would say the two positions that are going to be guarantees that they add are going to be corner and inside linebacker. I think corner because no one's necessarily emerged as, you know, a true cornerback one. And then you got, you know, it's a really, really young room. And every year it seems to work out. So I'm not going to doubt it. But we saw them last year obviously go out and get Kedron Smith. They added Jordan Robinson, who, you know, kind of redshirted last year to transition to the D1 level. I think he'll play some this year. They added Zion Childress, who's obviously going to be a huge part at the safety position. But corner, I think, is one position that you're probably going to look to add one more guy there. And then inside linebacker, I mean, they have two studs. We know that. Trevin Wallace, I think, is going to be an all-SEC caliber guy. And Derek Jackson could be as well. But behind them, man, it's thin. I mean, when Luke Fulton came here, and he's probably linebacker three or four, he was a preferred walk-on. So they're going to need they're going to need another body in that room because we saw what happened when DeAndre at square and Jacquez Jones getting hurt last year. Right now, that's probably the one room you cannot afford an injury in, and that is a demanding position where injuries happen. So I think they're going to want to have a security blanket there. But, yeah, I think if one of those running backs hit the portal, I really think Ray Davis is obviously not going anywhere. It's going to be really interesting because you have Ramon Jefferson lurking. Obviously, he's coming back from his injury. I don't even know how it works with him because he's in like his fourth school. I would assume he's going to stay. So it'd kind of be Jutaan McClain and Lavelle Wright being the guys to watch there. We'll see what happens. I don't think they're going to go anywhere, but who knows? And then receiver. You never know at receiver, man. Every team needs them, and if you don't feel like you're getting enough reps, it could easily lead to a transfer. And then I would see, Kentucky would definitely want to add one as insurance if they do lose one. So it's going to be really interesting. But I definitely think when you're talking transfer at the end of spring ball here, inside linebacker and corner are the two positions that are I would be shocked if they don't add, because they need them.
And those are solid running backs. I mean, we yeah. know what Davis can do.
And you have another one coming in. Don't forget that too.
So, and y'all know this. You think you got plenty of depth at a position, and then we thought you had a lot of running back depth last year.
Right.
Suspension, Jefferson gets hurt, and boom, boom, boom. That room's kind of thin.
It was a mess.
So, if guys – look, and it's easy for me to say, but sometimes just hang tight sometimes.
I know.
And look, you might bump into more playing time than you expect, even though it looks like maybe there's no place for you to get on the field. Blink, and next thing you know, you don't wish injury on anybody. You don't wish suspension on anybody. But that kind of thing, it's just the way it is. You can, I'm up here at the top of the depth chart now. It's him or me now. And I was for
Kavassier Smoke was RB5 during spring practice last year, and he was the opening day starter.
But
you just never know. And
they got to go.
Yeah, and the other room I'm really curious to see how that goes is tight end, because it's really funky right now, because you have three guys out. Caddis, Bates, and Dingle aren't participating in spring. They're all recovering from surgery. So it's Isaiah Cummings and the freshman, Kamari Anderson. And I'll tell you what, at the spring practice I saw, I think 2 weeks ago now, Kamari Anderson he does not look like a true freshman at all. That dude, I think, is a guy who, kind of similarly to Caddis, could be a guy who's ready to play year one. So I do wonder what that means for a guy like Isaiah Cummings, who had an up and down practice. The one I got to see, obviously, he's a guy who had a ton of success with Liam Cohen, didn't catch a pass last year. It's just kind of a really weird situation for him. So I that's one to watch for me. But it's crazy, though, with the transfer portal, man. It's going to be a whole nother free agency period here. I think May 1st it opens, to kind of give, 15 days to think about it and all that. And you'll start hearing right away who's going to leave. They just can't officially enter till the 1st. So you're going to see, man, that's just how it goes. Like guys like D. Beckwith, who hasn't really found a role, those type of guys, man, they're all on the chopping block and they're going to have decisions to make. And remember, sometimes the coaches – they don't push them out, but they kind of say, look, yeah, you're not going to really have a role here. It's probably best for you to hop in the portal. Remember, Mark Stoops made the quarterback decision in 2021 early, knowing that they were going to go with Will Levis so Gatewood could hop in the portal and find a job.
And I think that's commendable by coaches to do that, because a lot of coaches wouldn't do that. So the coaches that do that, I like that. That's commendable. But I think, again, the scary thing is for the receivers, man. If you're that number 3, 4, or 5 receiver, that the third receiver at Kentucky is not better than the first or second tight end at Kentucky right now, in my opinion.
No.
There's going to be a lot of 12 personnel.
Exactly.
11, 11, yep. They're going to base out of 11, period.
Yeah.
Right. 11 personnel they're gonna rarely be in 10 personnel. Now I heard they've been repping 10 personnel, which is 4 receivers, which is 1 running back, no tight ends, 4 receivers, because they don't have tight ends right now in spring ball. And I don't think Isaiah Cummings is gonna be that guy that's gonna help you in the run game. He's more of a pass catcher at tight end. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I do believe that again, it's always that balance, man. And they're going to play 10 personnel a little bit, mostly 11 and mostly 12, some 13 if I had to guess, probably very little, because you don't want to take Berrion and Dane off the field at the same time. But they're going to play 11 to 12 personnel is what they're going to base out of. So if you're that third, fourth, fifth receiver, especially the fourth and fifth guy, you're not going to get many snaps. That's just the reality of it. You're not going to get many catches. It's just the reality, because you got Caddis, who's from what I'm hearing from everybody and what we seen last year, he's a guy who can start at a lot of places. Dingle, a guy who, he is a starter. And what's the other one? I'm missing one. Bates.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who, he's a vet. So he's going to be on the field. So, it's a balance, man. You got guys who, they got to make a decision at tight end, at receiver. put it like this. It's just nowadays you got to make a decision at every position. Every position, they're going to have guys. They're going to have six guys leave. You know, hopefully not more than that. But they're going to have guys leave because it's just – at the end of the day, guys want to play, you know, and you can't really blame them. They want to find somewhere to play. And, you know, it's easy to fall in love with Kentucky. The food is good. Campus is nice. Girls look good and everything like that. But at the end of the day, you know, you go to college to play football, to play football, to get on the field. So we'll see what happens, man. I think just inevitably you're going to have, you know, guys exit stage left.
Yeah, you're right. It's just part of it. You know, it always seems shocking, especially to the fans. Oh, no. Oh, but that's just, it's just part of it nowadays. It sure is.
Yeah.
Any other news and nuggets, AG, man? We covered everything?
Yeah, I think we covered everything on the football front. I'll have more for y'all Saturday after I get to see him a little bit. And hopefully it'll be a good practice. They put on a good show for, you know, last year, like I said, the two open practices we saw, it was very, very clear the offense was going to be what it kind of ended up being. So
handicapped.
Yeah, so I mean, last year they had to tell the defense to calm down a little bit. So I don't think we're going to have that problem again. The offense looked a lot better when I saw them 2 weeks ago. So hopefully it'll be another good day for both sides of the ball, and especially the offensive side, just because that's where the problems were last year.
Exactly. Good stuff. So Final Four, I know you rocking with the Owls right there.
Hell yeah. I don't actually think they're going to win. I just think UConn is kind of that team that is hot right now. And they, you know, they were preseason number two. It just kind of feels like UConn's year. But I definitely think FAU could beat San Diego State. There's no doubt in my mind on that. So yeah, it's unbelievable. This Final Four is just straight unbelievable. I mean, outside of UConn, I know UConn's a four seed, but I don't consider them an incredible story just because they were preseason number two. They started 15-0. So, you know, I'll take UConn out of it. But to have, you know, Miami, FAU, and San Diego State is bonkers. And, look, I hear a lot of people saying it's bad for college basketball. I think they're out of their minds. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, I think it's great. I see a lot of people talking about, you know, I saw somebody post that, you know, you kind of want your blue bloods to be playing at this time. I'm like, man, with this transfer portal and everything going on, with the parity, and I told y'all, I think, was it last show, that you're going to see the same thing in football, not to this
extent. Yeah, it's coming. Look at TCU. Yeah.
Not to this extent. You're not going to see a San Diego State do anything in football in the playoffs, right. But you're going to see
– Marshall Faulk might come back.
you're going to start to see these blue bloods in football taking a dip, man. I'm telling you, you're going to see them take a dip. Look, Texas ain't been back since. I know Sam Ehlinger got on stage and told him, we're back. Texas ain't back. Look, I mean, Clemson has taken a nosedive a little bit. I think they'll be back this year. I got Clemson making the playoffs. Got their quarterback being a Heisman candidate this year, too. But, you know, you're going to see some blue bloods fall. I think it's going to be UConn or Miami, in my opinion, winning the national championship in basketball this year. You know, I'm probably going to roll the dice with UConn if I had to put money on it. But I love it, man, because if you're a kid, you know, that played college basketball in 2009, you kind of like, man, I wish I played in this era for multiple reasons. Obviously NIL, but for, you know, the second reason is naturally you just get more players to your school now because guys are going to transfer. So, you know, you got guys leaving left and right from the University of North Carolina, you know, because the transfer portal is available. Who knows? They may go to a, you know, a Providence or, you know, something like that where you get, you know, a school like that, make a run next year. I just think it's cool because, you know, a lot of those teams and those schools have been counted out so many years that it's good that they finally get a chance to play on this stage. It makes it more competitive. It makes it more fun. It makes it where you can't turn your eyes during tournament time because, you know, San Diego State may make a run and get to the Final Four like they did this year. So I think it's really good for the sport, honestly.
Yeah. You know, typically your Cinderellas don't get this far. This year they did. So no disrespect to Aaron's home state. I know you're from Connecticut, but I'm just like anybody.
I'm rooting but for, UConn, I am too. I am too.
But UConn, FAU, San Diego State, Miami. I'm gonna test my Connecticut geography. No disrespect to New Britain. No disrespect to New Haven. No disrespect to Hartford. No disrespect to Waterbury. I think that's the only Connecticut towns I can name. Oh, Bristol. Oh, Bristol and Storrs too. No disrespect to none of nothing from the Nutmeg State where you're from, Aaron. But I, you know, and it's crazy. UConn is, if they win, it'll be their fifth title in the last 25 years or so.
Yeah, they're getting on blue blood status.
But the non-title years, they're bad. But yeah, they like win a title, suck a while, win a title, suck, win a title, suck. But I mean, they won't trade those five in at all, and you can't blame them. No. But it's they beat. It's just weird how a dude I was talking with on my other podcast, he said they're kind of like the Marlins. They win, and then you don't hear from them for a while, and then they'll compete and win another one, and then you don't hear from them for a while. It's just a weird little thing they got going on up there.
Yeah, I was totally, totally wrong with this bracket. My bracket was like, I was pretty good the first round, but after that, man, because I had a couple upsets. I'm an optimistic guy when it comes to, you know, lower seeds upsetting, you know, good teams. And but after that, man, I was, because I thought Houston would last. I thought Bama would win it all. And man, you know, I was dead wrong. So, but again, it's good for the sport. I'm anxious to see what I'm telling y'all. You know, I want y'all to remember this date, man. I want y'all to remember this. In football season, you're going to see some of the same things. I'm telling you, you're going to see some of the same things. There's some really good football players that's transferring to schools that are group of five and whatever. Mm-hmm. Some really good players, man. So you're going to start to see the same thing. And for now, I think it's, you know, for the fans, you can really like kind of have an NFL type perspective. You don't know what's going to happen on a Sunday in the league because all the games come down to the wire, seem like, and it's all good on good. You don't have a Vanderbilt, you know, in the NFL. Some now I take that back. You know, some years you may have a Texans or somebody, but you don't have a lot of them. You know, it's usually one or two teams in the league that you know that you can probably beat if you are the Bengals or the Chiefs. But outside of that, you better bring it on any given Sunday, right? Because they're going to beat you. So I think college football is starting to move that way, man. So the transfer portal, it comes out to be not all that bad. I know we talked about it a lot. Coaches don't like it as much. I think they're starting to adapt. And I think it's one of those things where we're going to be extremely, extremely excited to do podcasts in the fall because we're going to have so much fun to talk about or so much stuff to talk about when it comes to teams upsetting teams. I really do believe that. Especially in the Pac-12, especially in the Big 12, especially in the, you know, ACC is always kind of up and down. But even in the SEC this year, watch out for Arkansas beating LSU, Mississippi State beating good teams, Texas A&M going to beat some good teams this year because they got talent. Obviously Kentucky, Missouri, you know, keeping in there with some good teams because they're going to get guys. They're going to get good players from other schools. So we'll see what happens, man.
That's right. All that'll be here before we know it. Like you said, we have fun talking about that. We have fun talking about this one today. Gave everybody a little different perspective. Hit a little baseball in there and had a cool guest. So thanks to Paul Giannis for hopping on. Appreciate Jalen, AG, y'all bringing y'all's knowledge each and every week. So another fun episode. Y'all go to Believe.com. Subscribe to Believe in Kentucky. Give us the little 5 stars. Same thing, farm to the show. Paul Giannis, Chris Dickerson, talking Reds. Y'all would definitely enjoy that as well. So appreciate everybody. Hope everybody enjoyed it. And like you said, we'll be back next week to do it all again. We'll talk Final Four, spring football. Opening day is tomorrow. So have some MLB to talk about. All kind of good stuff. NBA playoffs are coming. So y'all keep it locked right here. I believe in Kentucky. Be right back next week doing the same thing. See you everybody later.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.